One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
It feels good to be back. It feels like we're a little past our prime, and maybe we need to do some war games.
Connery and Diamonds Are Forever right now. Coming back for a last hurrah. I'm Matt Gourley.
Matt Myra.
Our guest today, Aaron Abrams. You'd know him from, well, Hannibal, first of all. And then a favorite show of mine, Slings and Arrows. Also, the L.A. Complex.
I have very little to do with any goodness those
shows have. That's not true. And I can vouch for the lies that are coming out of this man's mouth.
It's great to be here, guys. Thank you.
Aaron, welcome to our James Bonding podcast.
Oh, it's really my pleasure.
We like to ask our guests about their whole sort of life experience with James Bond, when they first got into it, what was the first one you saw, where and when.
This is part of why I wanted to have you on this show.
Yeah, this feels like a culmination of my existence a little bit. I was very obsessed with James Bond as a kid. I got the first money I think I ever spent was on those VHS sets that they sell. With
well
the shiny,
spent money, well spent.
Yeah.
And oh, the shiny labels.
The shiny covers. Yeah. Oh.
Didn't they have silver labels too?
Yeah, they were like, they really popped.
Yeah.
I would make charts. I was mainly obsessed with bad guys and deaths. So I would make a lot of lists and charts. I basically wrote fan fiction. I wrote like short stories.
Oh man, should have brought one in today.
I don't still have. I was thinking about what it was. It was from the perspective of a henchman. I remember that, which was ahead of
henchman or one of the
one I made up who was had like an arm like Teehee, like a metallic arm. Only he could unscrew the end and make put a rapier or a hammer or something like
Inspector
like a different
Gadget meets
yes,
Teehee.
Yes, evil Inspector Gadget. Oh, and in my brain, he was played by Rosie Greer. And his name was Tidbit.
Oh, great name.
That's why I would write these like, you know, ridiculous short stories about
you were born
Tidbit.
Too late. You should have been born in the era, like the 70s more era. You would have, man, you would have made your name writing those films.
So I was very obsessed. This is a big deal for me.
What was the first one you saw?
Live and Let Die. Live and Let Die, which is also my favorite. I don't know if I'm sure that's not a coincidence.
It fares well on this podcast. Yeah. We're all fans of it.
Love it.
We're big Roger Moore supporters.
Yeah. Yes. Roger Moore, I mean, not to skip ahead, but I think Roger Moore would have been good in this one particularly.
Yeah.
I don't want to ruin anything, but I think Sean Connery was perfect in this one.
Oh.
I think we may find we all had a pleasant surprise with this
yes.
film.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Me as well.
That's good. Good to know we're going into this positive. We're taking a...
And so your favorite is Live and Let Die.
Yes.
First one you saw.
Yes. And it kind of has... I mean, it's when the first time you don't... If there are things that are bad about that movie, it doesn't register because you're just like, what, the amazing chases and crazy bad guys and the gadgets and stuff like that, where you're like, oh, it's all so new to you, and you're like, what is happening?
That movie really does have it all as far as James Bond tropes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got your watch that is also a saw. It's got, you know, it's
black exploitation, just like every other Bond.
Every other Bond. No, but it's got your super memorable henchmen.
Yeah.
You know?
And a bunch of them, too. Yeah. You've got Whisper, Teehee.
Whisper, Teehee, and Baron Samedi
were, I mean.
And Jane Seymour. What more do you want?
Oh, you don't.
You don't want
anything more.
And him in, like, ridiculous places that he should not be.
Right.
Like Harlem and and Bahamas, and or not Bahamas.
Is it Jamaica?
Jamaica,
right? Yeah.
Like, but Voodoo Island, Jamaica.
Yeah.
And wherever J.W. Pepper's from. Or is that New Orleans?
Right.
J.W. Pepper. Live and Let Die is fantastic. And this, you know, it's interesting is, like, when we were tasked with, do we do this movie or not? Never Say Never Again. I was of the thought of, like, do we have to?
Because then, if we do this, do we have to do the original Casino Royale?
Right.
Oh.
It opens up a Pandora's box I wasn't prepared to go down.
Right. But then you just made the call one day, and then we were stuck.
James Bond Jr., we're going to pretty much...
No.
We're going to... Very soon we'll be doing that cartoon.
As a fan, I think this belongs as part of the thing.
Yeah, I think it's...
I agree.
Like, if you don't look at the politics and whatever behind it, where it's like maybe a knockoff, theoretically, it doesn't feel that knockoffishness.
No, and it certainly...
I think it's easier to watch than Thunderball.
I agree completely. It was probably an improvement. And I think, like, the history of Kevin McClory's entanglement with Fleming, you got to cover this, right?
Right.
I mean, we're doing the Lord's work here.
We're doing the off-book Bond movie that was not part of the Eon canon.
Yeah, the redheaded stepchild.
Now, if you've listened to this podcast before, we have gone over the story a little bit. But for those of you who are like, I'm not going to listen to these goddamn mission briefings where they don't even talk about a movie. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Okay. So, Kevin McClory, who... Is it fair to say that he helped Ian Fleming with the book?
No. They originally got together and to do a treatment for a movie.
Right.
And that got scuttled, and then Fleming took that idea and wrote the book Thunderball from that. So Blofeld, Spectre, and a few other things, even some conceptual things like gambling and stuff, got tied into Kevin McClory's estate. And then after...
Electronic video games.
we're going to need 15 minutes for that alone. That was all tied to Kevin McClory, so he was awarded the rights to those characters and to remake this story specifically.
He had the film rights to the Thunderball story.
Which aspects of that story is he tied to? Like, are they allowed to use, and were they allowed to sort of vary from?
So they could use anything, even things that he didn't create, like M and Moneypenny and stuff.
Okay.
But he specifically had the rights, I believe, to Blofeld, Spectre, and then the basic story of Thunderball. And then
basic story being Spectre steals nuclear weapons and holds the world hostage.
Yeah.
And boats. Something to do with boats.
Yeah. But then Fleming went on to do like a trilogy of Spectre books that... So it was a good thing that they did... Did they do those first? No, because they used Spectre... In You Only Live Twice and Diamonds and Forever, but by then it was after that.
And they retconned Dr. No into Spectre.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Dr. No is like.
From Russia with Love, you mean?
Yeah,
they talked about it. Yeah. Yeah, so this film is the last cinematic use of Spectre and Blofeld until Spectre comes out this November.
And we don't even know if Blofeld's in it.
No, we sure don't.
Because we're not reading any spoilers.
No, we're not. But we still kind of know, don't we?
Christoph Waltz, he still claims not to be.
Well, good
Blofeld.
For him. I hope not.
You know what I mean?
Do
you think we're running into a Benedict Cumberbatch is not Khan situation?
I get that feeling. I don't know. I'm really trying to stay south of the spoilers, but I don't know how it's going.
The TV spot, we should talk about it very quickly.
We should, and then Christopher Lee.
Oh, God. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Knick-knack Tabasco.
Give your dog a bone.
they released a one-minute TV spot for Spectre, which had pretty much 30 seconds of footage we have seen, and then 30 seconds of footage we have not seen, thanks to the NBA Finals.
Did you happen to see this by any
chance? I didn't see the new one. I've only seen the one where nothing happens.
It's just
plenty happens.
Well, it's just like quick shots of action, and then it ends with a little sustained moment.
I'd just like to talk about the fact that they have the Aston Martin drive over another Aston Martin and take its roof off.
Looked pretty good.
Yeah, looked great.
Yeah.
There's explosions there.
Okay, yeah. I'm in.
There's explosions
in this James Bond? There's actual like, things are going to explode in this one?
Guess
that's
what?
More than you saw in the last.
Yeah, there was nothing in the last one.
So you see the roof of a car get ripped off and then the wings of a plane too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the car?
No, that's a different shot in the snow.
It's a snow cargo plane, it looks like.
You guys going to be upset if he isn't Blofeld?
No.
You're going to be upset if he is Blofeld?
No.
I guess it's all in how they do it.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm just ready.
Yeah.
Whatever they need to throw at me, I'll take it. The TV spot was great. Really amped up. Looking forward to it.
They show the delivery of Bond, James Bond, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
I won't say anything more.
You're kind of into him in general, right?
Yeah.
Like he's
a dreamboat. He's a dreamboat.
Daniel Craig is just a hunk.
When he's coming out of the water in Casino Royale, the water is crystal clear and somehow still murkier than his baby blues.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Time slows down when he gets out of the water, and that's not even
the
film.
That's true. He comes out of the water, and you get the trifecta of the baby blue. You got the water, swim trunks, eyes.
Boom.
Good work.
Baby blue.
Good work.
James Bond's favorite color, apparently.
And mine.
Daniel Craig blue. That's your favorite.
That's what you call it. Yeah. I'm having a terry cloth play suit made for me. A guy's making one.
Oh, you're getting it remade?
Story. But the one he wears in Goldfinger. My girlfriend's lovely sister made one for me, but it was an Australian size thing, and it didn't translate, and I literally couldn't get in it.
Oh.
And so a new one's coming, and we'll see. I mean, just to update the listeners, that's important news, I guess.
Yeah, no, they want to know. They're very curious.
Yeah.
What's happening with Matt Gourley's terry cloth jumpsuit?
You should just come out with a line of that. I think that would sell a little bit. They seem super comfortable.
Well, yeah. Wait till you see me in mine. You're gonna want one for the swimsuit season.
Your balls are going to be in pain, I think.
Yeah, then I'm going to have to separate them somehow.
And also we have to remark on the passing of one of the greats in all of movies, not just James Bond, Christopher Lee.
He was in Star Wars. He was in a bunch of Lord of the Rings. He was in two Star Warses.
Yep. Count Dooku.
That's right.
And
a great Bond villain.
Of course, Scaramanga.
Third nipple.
A superfluous. What do they call it? A superfluous. Whatever the proper
areola?
Latin name is for the. A superfluous areola.
But he was like the first one that was such a big star to pit opposite James Bond.
Right,
I was supposed to be worried for James Bond.
Yeah.
It just was like they were hyping the bad guy.
Yeah, like
it was
he
called
was
the bad
news.
Guy, and it was Christopher Lee.
Right.
And it was like a big deal. And it sort of set a tone a little bit.
It did because he was also like a bizarro James Bond. He was
He was evil.
And also the plot of that movie is this guy wants to kill James Bond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The end. Don't worry about this solar thing, but this is the main plot.
And in the book, he was kind of a thug, but in the movie, they made him very suave.
Very classy.
Christopher Lee, who's Ian Fleming's step-cousin, too.
Man. Oh, he's juiced in.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's not... He's cheating.
Nepotism.
His whole career is a
nepotism. Guy did
kind of ruins it for you, didn't
Oh, no.
Also, a heavy metal singer, Christopher Lee. He released that heavy metal Christmas song called Jingle Hells.
Yeah, that...
No, it was an album, right?
When he died, when that was announced this morning, and that started circulating, I think that's... I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
I also did not
know
that.
I was aware of that. 93 years old.
So that's like when Leonard Nimoy did his like hippie folk songs. Christopher Lee thought, I'll do what Alice Cooper does, or what?
Yeah, essentially was like, I'm going to do a heavy metal. You know, he's got a great voice. You know,
does he?
Great metal voice, you know what I mean?
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, we'll take a listen to that. The movie we're doing today, guys, is Never Say Never Again.
Let's just talk about some of the origin of this thing. For instance, the title. Do you guys know where the title comes from?
I want you to tell the audience.
Okay. Apparently, allegedly.
This someone that Sean Connery used to hit. No, go ahead.
Oh.
Yeah. His wife, when he quit Bond, said, I'll never do that again. And then this comes around and she goes, well, you're doing it again, so never say never again. And that's apparently how the title came about. I don't know.
Surprised.
Sounds a little neat to me.
Sure. Yeah,
a little neat.
That like sounds this
like
a story
movie,
he told the cops.
Too cute by half.
Yeah, but like that's the only way it really even makes sense for that to be the title of the movie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I guess
it feels
so,
like that line at the end, they sort of were like, well, let's work that in because that's now the title of the movie.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, it's not like M says at any point, like, you'll never you'll never be back in shape again or something.
Right, nothing.
Right.
No one regrets saying never, ever.
Yeah. That's the new movie. No one regrets never, ever.
He's still alive. He could do one more.
Mm.
And then, so there's some sense that Connery's doing this despite Cubby Broccoli.
Some sense?
Yeah, quite a sense. And then this movie goes up against Octopussy, mm-hmm. and it was the year of the Battle of the Bonds, 83, right?
Yep.
And this movie came out 4 months later, which is why we're doing it first, because we're on the backwards trajectory. Reverse, and Octopussy won. Everybody thought Connery would win, but Octopussy was the bigger box office draw.
And I think that
they did put pussy in the title.
That's true.
It's like they cheated.
Oh, that is, yeah.
Because they had that
they
title.
They really pulled out the big gun.
Everybody's going, never say never again. What? That's not even a figure of speech. What? I don't understand what that is.
Yeah, this one is, it's interesting because it's such a loathsome movie for me, the Thunderball.
Mm.
Yeah, I can't deal with its underwater, 35-minute slow underwater scenes.
Has there ever in any James Bond movie been an underwater sequence that wasn't a snoozer? Like, this one is also a snoozer.
I agree.
I think in Skyfall, when he's fighting with the guy in the lake, that at least moves
quick. You mean like a scuba-oriented?
Yeah.
Even in Tomorrow Never Dies, it's so...
Yeah. And For Your Eyes Only, at least there's the suspense of someone's, like, coming after them, but it's so slow-moving.
Yeah.
Ugh. You're right.
That's the problem, too. Like, in Tomorrow Never Dies, when they go to look for the warhead. Remember they go to look for that torpedo? Underwater.
Oh, boy.
They
do scuba diving.
He does the halo jump, the high altitude, low opening jump.
Yeah. That's a rough
one. That Joe Don Baker brings him to.
That's the Bond movie I've seen the least. So
it's one of my favorites. I think you're wrong on it.
Tomorrow Never Dies is the one with the diamonds?
No, that's Die Another Day.
Right.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
This is where I started to fall off.
Me too.
With right where Pierce Brosnan, which coincided exactly with puberty with me. So it was a double double sword.
I'm not a Brosnan
guy. Get on board this Brosnan train. It's leaving the station.
I've said it before. But Tomorrow Never Dies is the only one I've not seen in the theater since I started going to see them.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I still go see them. Right
if they're ever screening that at a shitty cinema within an hour's drive, I'm dragging you.
Yeah, that's fair. I should see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never Say Never Again always was sort of one, even as a kid, I stayed away from.
Oh, really?
Because I knew in my mind, I knew that it was not
That's what
canon.
I was going to ask you guys, because I saw it a bunch on cable when I was young, and I knew it was different, but I don't think I ever conceptualized that this was an unofficial Bond film. I just didn't question it. I kind of went
You just
with
assumed
it.
James Bond is in this. This is a James Bond movie.
Yeah, I think I saw this one in the theater too, because it was the same year as Octopussy. So I knew that something weird was going on, but I just didn't question. I'm just like, what? Yeah, more of a good thing? Who am I to question? Come on.
I'm with you. I saw it fairly early on. I didn't see them in order. I think my dad sort of slowly presented them to me.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it was different until I had that like essential James Bond encyclopedia thing, which had everything you need to know.
Possibly under
the
my pillow.
Cover.
Yeah.
Possibly it is my pillow.
Just soft
fluff
cover.
A big book. So that's when I think I figured out. Then you start watching it with the different eyes a little bit.
Yeah.
The music is the biggest key.
Sure.
It's not even
the
that...
opening is also just generally altered for no reason. Like it doesn't have the same. Doesn't have the eye thing.
No.
It doesn't have a sequence.
No, there's
no gun barrel.
No cold open. I mean,
theoretically, the cold open would be him doing, you know, breaking into that to get the kidnapped billionaire daughter.
Which is kind of a fun little scene.
Yeah.
But he gets stabbed at the end, right? So you can't really be like, and then just go to a title sequence.
Yeah. Well, I mean, James Bond gets shot in Skyfall. And then there's a title sequence.
Right. Well, so the song, it opens with this, I mean, the worst song of any Bond movie, because even the production feels like it's being played off a warbly cassette tape, mm-hmm. like it's warped or something. Maybe not Die Another Day.
I still think
Madonna
the chorus
song.
Is catchy, and that's gets points. That's...
It is way more catchy than some of the other ones.
That's true. So there was originally another song that was up until the very like near production or opening, this was the song, but then I guess the guy who did the score had the rights to do the song, and so he booted this song and did his own. Here it is. Are you guys getting that in stereo, or is it
no,
just
it's
me?
In mono, but
that's okay.
Katie will mix it in post.
No, fine.
You don't just, like, drop these in mono?
Oh, yeah. There's
no way to know. The people won't hear this as one ear.
No.
I'll
I mean, this has more gravitas on it.
It does.
Oh, whoa! Yeah. Uh-huh.
Are you in or what?
Yeah, this is much more of a thing.
Because you can picture some Morris Binder titles, like girls doing gymnastics and chores.
Oh, this is... I like that. Synthy.
She's soulful, though.
Yeah. My heart was crying. Don't let go.
There was danger in the eyes. We're the only podcast in history to just quiet down for this song.
Well, I've never heard it. I'm not interested in the lyrics.
Phyllis Hyman.
I don't...
Oh, no.
Which her name? It's a Bond girl.
Oh, yeah. No.
Phyllis Hyman. Phyllis Hyman.
Yep.
Oh, my Jesus.
Holy smokes. Yeah, her manager needed to have a conversation. Just have a sit down. Be like, look, you sing great.
They did, and they were like, the only thing you're going to get around here is a Bond movie.
Yeah, because wasn't even Hitler's last name Schicklgruber at some point, and he had the foresight to switch... I think.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. We like to get our Hitler facts in on this podcast.
I will say that the song that they do use, if it had the cold open, it wouldn't have been so bad. It's just that it's underplaying this thing where he's punching people in the face, so it just feels comedic.
Yeah, yeah. That's very true.
Yeah, with very, I would say, terrible sound effects. The mixing is like out of control.
That's true.
Now, wild.
John Barry was originally approached to do the music, and he declined out of respect for Broccoli. But there is a version online that you can look up, and one of our listeners, Brendan McVeigh, sent that to us, and so you can watch this movie with John Barry music. It's strange. It's a little weird.
I watched a little bit of it.
Yeah, me too.
It's better.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the music, the soundtrack also gets like a weird. I guess they're taking that tango theme all the way through.
Yeah,
and jazzy. And it's not right.
It has no gravitas at all.
No, it's not right at all.
Well, I mean, it's like I feel like there's some James Bond movies of the Eon ilk that also will carry through a not particularly strong melody into the scoring. You know, like. Or a great, great one like The Man with the Golden Gun will have some great scoring of the sort of whatever that theme music is. They're going to carry that through the
Yeah.
But
I love when they do that. Love it.
All they had to work with on this was.
That's true.
Never.
Yeah.
Never say never.
Well, that's his own fault. He's the guy that wrote the song and the score. All right. So we're into it.
Now. Okay.
Okay.
Here we are. Starts with some 007s because he can use that legally.
Okay. Yeah.
And I feel like that was also their way to kind of do like a graphic thing that you would somehow see in the opening titles of a regular Bond film, but just briefly suggest that instead of the gun barrel sequence.
Yeah, and also, you know, the O is being, O being a circle, much like the gun barrel. They were talking about, I had read on, while looking up this movie, that they had... tried to do a gun barrel sequence and then scrapped it at the last second.
Yeah, they did. And I think the music was released on the soundtrack that you could buy, so you would hear the music that they intended for that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't just know these things.
Oh, boy.
Naturally. I did a little reading.
No, I like to think that you know these naturally.
I don't,
So when was the last time you guys watched this movie?
When I was a kid, I think. Yeah. I mean, I think I saw it, because it wasn't part of that set they gave
right.
you. And so I went and bought it separately, but I think it was already... I've only seen it a handful of times. But yeah. I mean, I remembered it, but not... It was better than I remembered.
Yeah.
It was much better than I remembered. And the last time I saw this... I don't even know. I always saw parts of it on cable. And that, you know, and that also confused me as a kid, I guess, too. When you did see parts of it on cable, your brain was like, which one does he drive a motorcycle under a truck in? Like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I saw this probably within the last 2 years. I own the Blu-ray. And part of the fun of owning the Blu-ray is the director's commentary with Irvin Kershner.
No! What?
Which is amazing, and I highly recommend it. Because if you're familiar with Kershner, who directed Empire Strikes Back, he's got this voice and he takes it very seriously. So scenes where like he's fighting the strong man and he's like, here, you show it. You don't tell it. It's how drama works. You just show it. You don't tell. Don't do it. He's really serious about it. And it's glorious. It's glorious.
Wow. So I
highly recommend. It's worth buying this DVD because it looks, or the Blu-ray looks great too.
Yeah.
The high def transfer. It's actually a really well shot movie, I think.
I agree. It's like they got beautiful. They didn't get slackers to make this movie. They got they got people at the top of their game.
Yeah. Go get yourself a nice Samsung 50 to 60 inch television.
Did this follow up? Was this his follow up to Empire?
Oh, boy,
it might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Must have been what he did right after The Empire Strikes Back.
Could have been. Yeah.
Wow.
There's a lot of Star Wars, like Bond, Superman, Star Wars crossover people in all these films,
too.
Because the guy he fights in the clinic is the big Nazi that Indy fights at the plane. And the like head thuggy guy from Temple of Doom that he fights on the conveyor belt.
He's great.
Yeah.
That guy's great. Yeah. He's so nonchalant.
I know what it is.
So great.
He really is.
Do you know what it is? It's there's 25 actors in England.
It's true.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they get cycled into everything that they shoot over there.
And if you're 7 foot, you're going to get the guy with...
By the way, it was only until last night that I realized that I wasn't watching William Atherton.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
He really has an Athertonish...
He does. The brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, they look the same. And then I went like, they must be exactly the same age. And they are a year difference.
Jeez. Wow. He looks a lot like Kim Basinger, too. That is some super casting.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So we start, this movie starts with, James Bond storming, sieging, doing James Bond type things in a stealth then not stealth mode.
Right. Murdering. It goes from stealth to murder real quick.
The man who has
horse trauma.
Almost infinite access to silencers for his Walther and decides to just go in blazing. And
his murder is almost out of laziness.
Yeah.
I just don't want to deal.
Yeah. He doesn't want to walk over there. So he'll shoot you with a machine gun that is somehow louder than regular machine guns. So he takes, he has to rescue this girl. We don't know what's happening. We're the audience.
No.
We're learning
as it's going.
You know what they're doing? They're showing us, not telling us.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just show it. No, I mean, it's drama.
So
what do you want, Remo Williams? No, show it.
we get to, James Bond rescues the girl, but then all of a sudden, boom, knife in the side. We, the audience, are like, no, James. And then we find that it's being watched on a screen.
I don't feel like it dwells on that nearly enough. He makes a like, oh, jeez, face, and then immediately it cuts to people being like,
I think that's such a, that would be James Bond. If James Bond ever meets his untimely end, I think his reaction would
be,
absolutely.
Finally.
He'd be like, thank God. Sweet release.
And I'm coming. No less.
Yeah. I'm coming, Dame Judy.
It's the amount of diseases I've given to women, it's only fitting that I be stabbed by one.
So, wait. So this turns out to be a simulation of some kind. Now, in your brain, how does this simulation work exactly? Did he not punch murder a bunch of people?
No, in my brain, everyone has blanks.
Yeah.
And I think that they, allow punching. They allow punching in this war game.
They're still falling off a building for no reason.
Yeah.
Just like,
is everything padded on the ground?
I have to show. My time to show.
The bigger question is that this whole thing is
gonna get out of here, you see?
To show that Connery still got it and he's still subverting the system, right? That he's coming out of retirement? Is that kind of
the first thing
saying?
I noticed in watching this movie was Sean Connery in better shape than Roger Moore at that time.
Oh, yes.
Well, he's also 3 years younger.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And does he, am I wrong, but this is 12 years after Diamonds Are Forever, and he looks better than he did in Diamonds Are Forever. And that part of that is probably
Vegas.
The only thing that doesn't look better is his toupee.
Buffets.
His toupee in this movie does kind of ruin it for
me. Yeah.
He's so
I love
tan.
That they were like, all right, I'll do it. And they were like, Thunderball, a lot of water stuff. And he's like,
guys, I'm going to need a... How is glue technology advanced?
Get me Shatner's guy.
So they kind of deal with his age right out of the bat, which is good right off the bat.
Which they don't do really very often in James Bond movies
Skyfall.
Until Skyfall.
Which I even think they went a little far with that because
too far.
He's still got at least another two.
We've don't talked about the timeline many times, but it doesn't make any sense that he'd be so worn out
that's true.
By that time. No. Anyway,
especially like he still has the fire of a young man.
Oh yeah.
Whereas Connery's like a little bit like ooh.
Yeah.
I gotta deal with all these fucking idiots again.
I gotta take a knife in the side. Oh. Yeah.
I will say when he finally does put on tuxedo, it's like yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You're James Bond.
One thing I love about this movie, M, played by Edward Fox. Mm-hmm. I love that guy so much. Have you guys ever seen Force 10 from Navarone, a World War II movie with Harrison Ford
Fox? Of course not.
So good. Directed by Guy Hamilton, Goldfinger director. Another huge English movie that's full of...
And Live and Die.
Huh?
He did all the good ones.
Yeah.
So an English movie that needs actors, and you're saying there are some people in this English movie that happen to also be in a James Bond movie?
That's right,
movie?
And the only people that aren't are the American actors who are Harrison Ford and Carl Weathers.
Oh.
But Robert Shaw's in it. Sequel to Guns of Navarone, and it's the lesser of the two movies, but for my money a lot more fun. Richard Kiel's in it.
M in this movie though, like it's a great performance, but he's written like a real punk bitch.
Yeah, he's a petty son of a bitch.
He's written like a whiny bureaucrat.
Yeah.
Look, which is like that's the sort of you
voice.
Know again all we know about Spectre everybody is what we've seen officially released by 007.com, but that's my part of my worry with Spectre coming up. It feels like they're doing the whole thing of like we have no need for the 00 section.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. We want them to just get back to missions.
Yeah. We want them to go, "Oh fuck, we do need spies all the time."
Yeah.
Anyway.
And use that language.
Oh, fuck. We do need spies all the time.
The new MI6.
Cut. Logan.
Gabble bang.
So James is told, hey, you're old. You eat terribly. You smoke. You drink.
He'll cut out the white bread, but not the dry martini.
Right. We need to get you over to this fun, relaxing clinic. Where they're gonna? What is the?
Oh, this is the great line when he's on his way out and
that
tells Monk.
That is a solid line.
I am to eliminate all free radicals.
Sounds dangerous.
I didn't know what a free radical was when I was a kid, but I was laughing. I just knew I was supposed to laugh.
What did you think of Moneypenny?
They don't really use her at all. Does he
twice?
Yeah,
isn't there twice?
There's not much going on there.
I believe she had a shot, though. I think in the older ones, you're like, this is a little patronizing that he's flirting with this lady.
Yeah.
That's not nice for this lady.
Yeah.
But this movie, I was like, well, this lady could get it done if she puts her back into it a little
bit. Well, she's a little too young, I think, for me.
Yeah?
Age difference-wise, between the characters, I think it's a little too much.
Well, yeah, that's right. But remember when they...
Because they had Lois Maxwell in there.
But what was the movie? Was it maybe it was View to Kill where they bring in Penelope Smallbone and Moneypenny's training this really young girl, and you just get this feeling like she was gone in the next one, and she'll be there, and then Roger Moore will still be there, and it'll be really weird.
Much like in Thunderball, James has to go recuperate from an injury. I guess he's not really recuperating. He's just being sent there because he drinks a lot. You're dealing with a lot of the same sort of parts of Thunderball of him at this clinic where he's getting massages and he's trying to be healthy.
At least he doesn't have that awkward scene where he's on that stretcher. Remember that motorized stretcher in Thunderball and he's stuck on it? And it's
this replaced that with the Adams Press.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, what exercise equipment can we now hurt him
but
with?
But at least that one wasn't just humiliating physically.
The way those machines work, if you release those weights, the bar is now light.
Oh, yeah.
The bar is now lighter than ever.
Physics of how the bad guy trapped him in there.
Yeah, really,
didn't make any sense.
Really didn't work out.
But he's emasculated a lot during that early go.
Yeah,
like
he really
every
is.
Nurse like snapping his back and like he's really puttering around. Like that's what I meant when Roger Moore I think would tear all that stuff. Like when you watch John Connery get emasculated, it's a little bit
it
sadder.
Is a weird. Yeah,
he's like a big brutish dog.
Yeah,
but I think it's good that it's sadder.
Sure.
For this movie. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's,
James Bond is getting punked for like a good half hour straight off the top.
Yeah. Also, we should, is the, when do we find out about the captain? Is that, does that happen before we get to the clinic?
The brother of Kim Basinger? It happens at the clinic, doesn't it? Or do you find out in
the Spectre meeting? We find out in the Spectre meeting.
Which I want to talk about, because here's where I started noticing the direction.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of that Spectre meeting is shot from this crazy low angle. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah, he's getting, Mansido like creeps up on him from this like dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, kind of. And watch that. So they dolly in at a low angle, and Blofeld's holding the cat, but the cat is doing this thing that I never noticed before, where it's just like fanning its paw out rhythmically as Sydow pets him, and he's just doing this thing like Catwoman would do, that thing, and it's unbelievable.
I think it was a heavily trained cat, or is it just a comfortable cat?
It was doing it so on cue that I thought maybe like it's watching a trainer, and the trainer taught it to do that, or it's just its stimulation from petting or something. I don't know. It's great.
So we see, Spectre, the organization.
Bit of a missed opportunity with the extras in that meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were
They're pretty tame, average-looking dudes.
Yeah,
it's weird where this film decides to like rein it in, and where it doesn't is really inconsistent.
Yeah.
But the one thing I liked about when they show that room of those people, they're not configured in any formation. They're like randomly in these chairs with little tables. I kind of liked it in a way. The production design was kind of interesting in this film.
And it is funny seeing like Blofeld... You know, you just sort of realize that that's sort of what we've been missing from James Bond movies.
A good Blofeld.
A good, big, bad, situation. You know, a good, like, I like that there's, if the KGB isn't around anymore, then I like that there's this other organization.
Yes.
That he has to come up against. Mm-hmm. I like that it's MI6 versus this other organization.
Well,
be it Quantum or Spectre.
Get ready for November. Well, I think that's the whole idea, that he's this all-powerful guy, but he has, like, a cat. Like, that's the juxtaposition, and it's never quite worked because they get, like Donald, like, guys who look like they have cats.
Yeah. Cat ladies.
Yeah. Well, they put him in a bow tie, even. I was like, I don't think I'm into that. You got Max in there.
Yeah.
He's towering over everybody, and they kind of made him dressed him like a homebody.
His voice. He really uses his voice in this one.
Well, he's trying to do a different accent than the one he has.
He sounds Eastern European in this.
It's a big get too for this movie. Yeah. Like when he's not the big bad, was there an idea to do just like keep doing Thunderballs over and over, like to
apparently,
make this a series?
You know,
apparently, yeah.
They were gonna do that. They were gonna like just keep going with.
That's amazing.
Here, let's.
I would have liked it if this movie ended with them just pulling a cartridge out and it said like Thunderball War Game Mission. And James Bond just passed at the end. It was all a dream.
And he's back in the field. That would be amazing. Yeah. It was all his next mission, like training mission.
Yeah, they just inserted Thunderball.
Watch the cat.
Our esteemed number one is in complete charge of...
Oh, is he doing that, though?
Which will
is it a puppet?
No,
is he doing
cat.
It with his finger?
That's a cat.
Because it's like tucked in?
I don't know. Go back. I got to see that. Oh, man, we haven't even talked about Klaus Murray Brandauer. He's my favorite thing in this movie.
Oh, my God.
He's bonkers.
Forces on an equal basis. In matters of death, Spectre is strictly impartial. Not for the future.
This is not an evil person.
Spectre's most audacious enterprise.
Oh, maybe he is.
Of any. Next to which our previous ventures.
But he's doing it with both his paws.
Yeah, no, the cat's totally doing
cat
that on
it.
Its own.
That's the best.
The cat's just hanging out.
The acting talent in this movie
our
is supreme.
Our esteemed number one.
Including the cat.
Is in complete charge of the entire operation, which will henceforth be called the Tears of Allah.
Why wouldn't Sidow do this? Because it probably did it all in a day.
Yeah.
I love him.
Okay, let's talk about Klaus Murray Brandauer.
Best crazy person in all the Bonds. Who's walking, maybe?
No, I think best crazy person in all the Bond movies, is the villain from Quantum of Solace.
Oh.
Well, he's really subtle. Let me say what I love about this. He walks up to the line of going, he's going to go too far. There's no way this delivery can work. And he just walks it back right in time, every time. He's like the biggest overacting cock tease. He never actually does it, but he gets right up there.
It's like legit good performance that it looks like it's any second going to become a cartoonish bad performance.
It's amazing.
It never is.
Yeah.
He's great.
And then I slit your throat.
Do you think, like they say, finally towards the end, when like someone finally says, like, you're out of your mind, at some point, I'm like, I'm not sure that's in the script that he's crazy. Just like that, and they're like, you got to say something at this point.
I mean, we're all aware of it.
We got to, dude. We gotta, someone's got to say, "He's you're crazy. Just throw it in
we
there.
We had a powwow. We talked about it.
Yeah, I really wonder what he's like on set. I gather it's not too far off.
Fans. An American Air Force officer.
And his costumes, too.
Oh, yeah, like Country Club. His band costumes. Incredible.
Heroin. I understand he's not...
I love it. I love what he looks like.
He's amazing.
I love his giant glasses.
Willing and obedient.
I would put him in, like, top 10, if not top 5, Bond villains. And this isn't even an official Bond movie.
Implant. His right eye print is now an exact replica of that of the President of the United States. He will soon be moved... to a convalescent clinic.
This feels like his audition tape, and they just rolled it in.
Yeah.
Well, they couldn't arrange. He couldn't.
Want you to sit here, say these lines.
Yeah.
Sign this. Thank you.
Manzano couldn't be in the same room. That Manzano like was like, I only work one day, so get him here or do something.
I think they were teleconferencing with Klaus Meyer Brandau, talking about will you do this movie. And then they asked him, what do you think it's about? And this is just what he said. And then they wrote like, the script.
God, someone film this. Someone film this.
Near London. I have chosen number 12 to have the responsibility of taking the most.
Number 12.
She's crazy, too.
Yeah, like, she's another. She's amazingly crazy.
Her,
yeah.
like, her dance tick.
Oh, yeah. Whenever she's walking, pointing to the band.
She's doing her thing.
Fatima Blush. Flaunting. That's a good name, too, Fatima Blush.
Fatima Blush.
Anytime, I watched this with my dad, and anytime she would come on screen, he would go, I would be like, oh, that's what is attractive. That is an attractive lady, I guess.
My dad would do that with Tanya Roberts, and he'd go, you know, she was in Playboy every time. Almost, definitely every time we watch the movie, but I want to say every scene, you know, she was in Playboy.
Now, son, I got it if you want to see it.
I know, Dad. I found him in the garage.
So James Bond comes prepared to his clinic of health where he brings his briefcase. Full of caviar and entire bottles
you
of vodka.
You have one of those, right?
And
caviar,
quail eggs.
Foie gras, and like spring break party vodka.
Yeah, absolute
like cheap,
vodka.
Cheap ass.
Let's see what's in there. Is it absolute?
It is, yeah. It's a big like economy bottle.
Well, that wasn't Smirnoff, which was his old brand.
Yeah.
Oh, well, really they sticking it to Smirnoff.
Yeah. Also, look at this fireplace. There's a fireplace and then a little fireplace inside it.
He was getting dressed up to get hammered alone.
I know.
You have.
There's a lady.
Come in.
She's got something.
No, I can't come in.
Let's just listen to Sean Connery's delivery.
There's a little stove in the fireplace.
Don't worry. I have my reputation to think of.
I don't think you got your reputation by living on a diet of wild rice. So, lentil delight, dandelion salad, goat's cheese.
I don't know. This woman does it for me.
What is the caviar?
It's probably because I remember her from this movie.
Foie gras. Strasbourg.
Is she gonna vomit? What is that look?
No,
what
she
is,
like, loves
hasn't
it.
Had
She's
foie gras in so long.
Yeah.
It's all been dandelion salad. Ages and ages.
He's bringing her back to her carnal pleasure.
So it just so happens that the clinic that they are taking Kim Basinger's brother to recover from his ocular eye surgery, so his retina will be an exact imprint of the President of the United States.
Yeah, because in Thunderball, he just had plastic surgery
to replace
like
that guy.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. Because they had live warheads on that ship.
Now they
need to get warheads on
it. They put in there, which is the President's eye, looks like a fish's eye. Like,
yes.
It's like a gigantic blue.
Yep.
It's like President Gerald Merman. It was like presiding.
Merman.
The first ever fish man president. They said it wouldn't happen in our time.
Early 80s were. You know, we're coming off a Carter. We just needed something.
We needed something different.
My fellow Americans.
I like that passionate speech in garbled fish languages.
So the plan is to get him. I do like. So James Bond does some James Bonding. He does some spying.
Yeah.
And he's watching this guy. He has to go through all the things he would have to go through in order to release these nuclear weapons. So Spectre has set up this little training exercise for him to do this. And James Bond I believe he goes over there. Why does he end up
spying on them?
He sees them fighting, right?
Yeah, yes. Really?
Yeah.
Which is, there's no reason for her to be beating him up at all, right?
Right.
I know she's just a crazy crazy pants.
She's nuts.
But I do like the performances here when James Bond sees, because this guy goes
eyeball
over the top.
He's really Athertoning it up.
He's out Athertoning.
Yeah.
Try it again, darling. At the window.
Come on, this guy's a military man.
Yeah, a man at the window.
I know.
But I also like,
why is he doing it? Because they're threatening his sister. That's why he's going to blow up the world.
Did you see you?
Yeah. Do they ever say it?
Why is he doing this?
Yeah.
Because they got him addicted to heroin.
Oh, right.
And they keep giving him heroin.
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention to the plot points this time.
Yeah, she did offer to give him candy from her thigh.
Yeah,
in the form
that was
of
the
a needle.
Candy.
That's
I was watching
I
things
it.
Like cat's paws and stuff.
But it is interesting. Like, I think something that's cool that they touch on here is that at this point in his career,
do you know him?
Oh yes, 007.
He's useless. At this point in his career, he's useless as a spy because everybody knows him.
That's always
by name.
The later James Bond. Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting. Is like, you know, they suspend disbelief in the James Bond movies for the most part. Where even in, like, say, the earlier movies, Spectre doesn't know. Oh, that's James Bond. That's 007. Like, they don't know it. But this woman, she's not even number 5.
I know, she's got
she's
a ways
number
to go.
She's number 12.
Double digits. Double digits. Yeah.
She's number 12, and she knows him
she's
by
barely
sight.
A month. Yeah. if they had month nicknames,
yeah,
she'd barely be in.
Yeah. December tops.
December, yeah.
So she
or
needs
February.
To...
Maybe it's the shortest. I don't know how they rank them.
She needs to get James taken care of, so she sends the guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark, again, because that movie filmed at Pinewood Studios, and he was an English guy,
probably
so they
lives
got him.
There.
I do like that thing, that weapon
that
he takes
him
away to.
I do
him.
Like
why
that
doesn't
weapon.
Everyone have that weapon? The thing that breaks knives and everything, that like the rubber lead pipe or whatever it is.
I think it's just like a springy metal situation.
Oh,
it's amazing.
I read on IMDb, I'm having a hard time believing this, but apparently Steven Seagal was the fight choreographer, the martial arts choreographer in this, and broke Connery's wrist. But I have heard numerous stories about...
I bet Seagal goes on IMDb trivia.
I bet, you're right.
And enters a whole bunch of crazy shit.
I've heard crazy... talk about working with that guy in terms of fighting, like he really hits people and stuff like that.
There's an urban legend about him fighting a guy, and then he challenged a guy to a fight, and the guy was a champion, and they fought, and in 1 second, Steven Seagal was choked out and then pissed himself.
Yeah.
That's
so funny, because I just heard it where he shit his pants, too, so that's amazing how that already happens.
I want to look up the fight coordinator here.
Oh yeah, that ought to do it.
Anyway, keep talking. Get us to. Has the fight with the giant henchman, and then he discovers his one clue to who these people were.
I do like that fight with the henchman.
I think it's a good fight too.
Yeah,
I think it's a good fight too. I like the element of the fight happening that they're watching on television.
Right.
Yeah.
That is coinciding with them fighting behind everybody.
That's a very Spielberg moment.
His nonchalance is great. I don't mind the piss in the face.
What is in Bond's urine that does that to him?
It's
pure
vodka. Pure absolute vodka.
Oh, God. Just
and,
foie gras.
And duck liver, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Even the idea that, like, I don't... Does it kind of... Do you hear it, like, hiss?
He's certainly playing an acidic...
Yeah,
not a Hasidic. He's
no.
Acidic.
I beg your pardon.
There's some effects in this that aren't bad too, because then they cut away pretty soon to that jet flying through the air. So some of the cruise missile stuff looks a little like optical, but the jet flying through the air looks really good. Did you guys notice that when it flies through the clouds and it gets a shadow on it?
Yeah, the jet looks good. The stuff that looks good is there to make up for the horse jumping off the giant building.
Yeah, we're all building to a thing.
That's pretty rough.
We'll get
there.
They
murder a horse.
We'll get there.
Basically do. And another animal. Wasn't there another animal that was...
Well, she has this idea where she's like, this happens now, where she's going to kill the brother, and her plan is to throw a snake in his car.
That's right. Yeah.
have the car go off the road, then blow up the car, then take her snake out of the
Now,
what
you do, I don't know if you guys realize this, but there aren't many snakes in England, so this one was the snake from Raiders of the Lost
Ark. Oh, that makes sense. They had to recast
Reggie.
Which
I have a horrible past.
They called him up. He came out of retirement.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, I lost $4,000 on a game show because I got that name right, and they thought it was Richie.
Wait, what?
Didn't give me the money.
Wait, what?
What are you talking
about? Snake in Raiders of the Lost Ark that's in his lap in the plane in the beginning, and he goes, "That's just my pet snake, Reggie." And they asked me on this game show debt, "What's the name?" And I said, "Reggie." And he goes, "Sorry, it's Richie." And I didn't get the money.
But you were right?
That's what I'm told. But like, I've told this on podcasts before, and people have shown me the script and everything. But the, you know, Wink's dead, right? Wink Martindale.
Wink Martindale. Yeah. I don't think he's around anymore.
Yeah. I don't know that he'd pay me personally. Anyway.
What year was this?
Wow.
This would have been like mid 90s, probably 95 or 96.
Oh, man. You had a hell of a 95.
I really did. To 95, guys. 1995. Yeah.
I'm just watching the credits, guys.
Okay.
Sorry. Keep going.
But that's crazy. I mean, she's doing a great job being. I buy everything she does, and she doesn't do anything. It doesn't make any sense.
Vic Armstrong did the stunts.
Oh, that makes sense. So, yeah, he doubled for Indy.
Yeah.
And he did a lot of other Bond stuff.
Yes.
He did a lot of the original Eon stuff. That's crazy.
They poached him.
They did. So, stunts, is he even in there? No.
No, Steven Seagal.
That's basically it. He's got to be lying. I'm glad we fact-checked that. He goes to Jamaica after this, hot on the trail, right?
You'd think you're going to see Quarrel.
Or Bahamas.
You don't.
I know.
He's going to the Bahamas.
Right.
Well, we're also missing the part where they... Okay, now...
We have the nuclear... He holds... the press conference through the skull head.
I was going to kind of limit what we're going to play as far as audio is concerned for everybody on this, but I do have to play fucking Blofeld's fun little video message to the sort of United Nations.
Uh-huh.
Outrageous. Also, there's some bad extras in this scene, too.
Through the ingenuity of Spectrum, the dummy warheads they carried were replaced.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's from View to a Kill.
Yeah, this guy's.
Your weapons of destruction are now safely in our possession.
He focuses on his
And will be moved
this is
to
the
two
future
secret
of my life.
Targets. Please note the serial numbers of the missiles. They will confirm the truth. Your weapons of deterrence did not deter us from our objective. A terrible catastrophe now confronts you. However, it can be avoided by paying a tribute to our organization, amounting to 25% of your respective country's annual
Russian.
Yeah.
That sounds just like Christopher Lee.
We have accomplished two of the functions
like
that the name Spectre embodies. Terror and extortion.
Oh, yeah.
If our demands are not met within seven days.
So much. This guy's the worst. This extra right here.
No,
everything he hears.
I disagree. She also doesn't belong there.
That's gold in my ear.
But it's just like this guy just is hearing, like, we're holding, we have nuclear, and he's just like, I told you guys. I told you.
He keeps looking at his buddy like, is this bad?
I want to hear when Blofeld explains the name to everybody.
Demonize.
That's awesome.
There it is.
I am Supreme Commander of Spectre, the special executive for counterintelligence, terrorism, revenge, and extortion.
Wait, let's take a second to talk about this little studio he has set up here. There's a camera in an iron skull.
Yep.
And it's on a podium that's just facing this little flower table that he's just kind of propped up against.
Uh-huh.
I guess they don't do that regularly.
And a red light.
But why do they have that light?
Base.
Yeah, that camera.
Well, so he knows that it's on.
But why do they have that camera?
I think that camera might be his what I use to video conference with my bros across the nation.
So Largo had one of those when he was doing his... Okay, that makes sense.
Maybe they issue them with the rings. It's like your Spectre starter kit.
God, that would
be
amazing.
Your skull camera. Here's your ring.
How do I get one?
Now, I know our name is very stupid.
It is rough.
I am the special executive for counterterrorism, extortion, and revenge. Counterterrorism doesn't make any sense. That seems like a good thing. Well,
I am Supreme Commander of Spectre, the special executive for counterintelligence.
Counterintelligence. Yeah.
Terrorism, revenge, and extortion.
As big a Bond fan as I am, I never remember what that stands for.
Me either.
I cannot.
Me either, because it's the stupidest thing in any of the James Bond movies.
Yeah.
Okay, so William Atherton gets killed by a snake.
Mm-hmm.
Who happens to be Kim Basinger's brother. And we know it's not William Atherton, everybody. We know that. We're just saying it because he looks like him.
Matt's saying that because we will hear
it. I understand.
Yeah. We're just calling him William Atherton. But what we... So now that this plan is out there, you know, England's got to do something, right? So just like that, the 00 branch is reactivated. By, is that the Prime Minister, you think, that just turns to him and
Hard
says, make
say.
It happen?
Hard to say.
But let's, I do want to hear
that
Algernon's take on Q.
Really quickly, that yacht, Largo's yacht.
The Flying Saucer?
Yes, which is Disco Volante in English from Thunderball. But that was owned by a Saudi arms dealer at the time.
Oh.
And then guess who... He doesn't own it now, but for a long time, Trump owned it as well, after the fact. Yeah.
Wow.
They like went, they co-shared, like, so you get it for 6 months, just like
timeshare,
him and the Saudi.
This Q's pretty good.
You think so?
I like him, yeah.
You don't I like this him? Whole world where he's like an underfunded Sanford, and like I'd watch a whole sitcom of,
of this place,
of like an underfunded intelligence agency making
he's too much
gadgets.
What you gonna do when you're in a fix? Cues and got your back and you're giving licks. Don't make me go on.
But he feels like this feels very much like a guy that will need Doctor Who's help. You know?
Not quite perfected yet.
You could write a very binding contract with this.
Yeah, I wish I had a new contract.
It's different because they're not at odds in this. Yeah. Usually you're used
to
them being
at
odds. I kind of like that.
When you can't, there's
usually
some strike that stops delivery.
Is this just because they couldn't like get
place.
A set that looked like the other ones? They were like, we have to explain why you're in like a basement.
Yeah, good question.
We're both humble servants of the crown.
It's like Q wants to be him too because he's like lots of meaningless sex and violence and... He's living vicariously through Bond, which
he gets
is
really
totally
excited
different.
About it. Where are you going next?
Yeah.
Shot. Unlimited resources, air conditioning, 28 flavors of ice cream in the restaurant. It's a motorbike toy. If I can get the thing to work properly, I'll ship it out to you. Wait a minute. I've got something in here that could be useful. The prototype came from a KGB defector. Bit of a whisket in their technical section. Not a bad chap. They're like all defectors, prone to melancholy. I suppose it's all
prone
that vodka in English weather. Ah. Rather tasty, this is. It looks like a watch, but it's really a laser. Keeps perfect time.
But for how long?
At least your lifetime. Good to see you, Mr. Bond. Things have been awfully dull round here. Bureaucrats running the old place, everything done by the book. Can't make a decision unless the computer gives you the go-ahead.
He's
now
opposite
you.
I
hope we're going to have some gratuitous
like
sex and violence.
Well, I certainly hope so, too.
And then the funny chapstick joke.
Yes.
All right, so James has to go to the Bahamas because he's looking for the ship that belongs to... forgot Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah, it's his first movie, Rowan Atkinson.
Making some choices. Making some serious mouth-oriented choices.
Yeah, you can't accuse anyone in this film of not making choices.
No one's going down the middle here.
No.
Everyone's going
except
little
for
inside
maybe Connery.
Or way outside.
You could maybe argue that Klaus, that was just his natural essence.
His natural demeanor.
It wasn't necessarily a choice to do anything.
There's a good chance of that.
He plays a British agent by the name of...
is it Nigel? Something?
Nigel... Is it... Bush?
I can't remember.
Fuckwad?
That's
yep. Nigel Bush Fuckwad.
Definitely.
And that's why you shouted my name across the harbor.
Oh, God, did I?
Well, you mean you got this. That's sort of Dr. No-like.
Yeah.
Steel and drums.
I like this fishing lady. She's from Spy Who Loved Me. She's the receptionist in Spy Who Loved Me. They pulled a lot. There really are
again,
24
there's
actors.
24 to 27 actors.
At any given time.
At any given time
you
available
have to
in England to be in
movies.
For
someone to die like a country club.
Do you know how happy someone is right now that Christopher Lee has passed on?
Oh, that's right.
Someone now gets a spot.
That's right.
Some old fuddy-duddy.
You're right.
Finally, hey, I get the call. All right, so he's got to go to the... I mean, if you've seen Thunderball, you understand what's happening here.
You've probably seen this movie a bunch of times,
He's
got to
track this down, guys. So he's got to find the Disco Volante, a.k.a. the Flying Saucer.
Yeah.
So, of course, he meets a buxom lady who has a fishing boat.
She's basically Quarrel.
She is Quarrel. There's no quarrels about it.
Nope.
Quarrel's not even in Thunderball, though.
No.
It's just Live and Let Die.
But it's the fact that we're in a tropical
Quarrel
setting.
Sure. Yeah.
And we just want there to be a Quarrel Jr.
Sex Quarrel.
Sex Quarrel. You don't think they fucked in Dr. No? I think they did.
Well, sure.
All right. So he goes diving.
Underwater,
now.
Boring underwater scene.
Very boring underwater scene. Weird. I would like to hear the commentary on the sex scene.
All right. I'll give it to you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What is? Oh,
let's hear it. You're going to do it for me? Matt's commentary on the sex scene.
All right, here we go. Ready?
My dad's was a lot of moaning and groaning.
Now here, we offered her a body double, but she wouldn't do it because she understands the craft of acting and drama. Also, she had a full bulrush delta of just a thatch down there that she... I mean, you could land a plane on it. It was a meadow, and... when he disrobed there, same thing. No little nude underlings or little beige-shaped onesies. Everybody here was going out in the wind. Like the way it was. We shot this full screen. We had to crop it.
Because we were trying to show it.
I wanted to see it on the monitor to know it was real. And then, of course, they consummated and had a child. Because it's all real.
Wow. Thank you, Irving.
You're welcome. I died recently, too.
Oh, did he?
Well, a couple years ago.
Oh.
Poor guy.
All right. So the way that she decides to dispatch with James Bond.
Which time? Like, her methods are incredible.
Boy.
Yeah.
That's why she's stuck at number 12, guys.
Yeah.
Gotta get your head in the game, Fatima
she's
Blush.
Never heard of a gun?
Holy smoke.
First thing she tries to do here is attach some sort of homing device onto James Bond's hip.
That's why the girl in the beginning is able to stab him, because he's so used to women going these circuitous routes to kill him.
Yeah.
He never would expect it.
So she puts a homing device, but in order for this to work...
She's
going to first have to find some sharks.
Bionically engineered some sharks.
Oh, boy.
That she can put a similar device on that will attract them to it. By the way, did you find it interesting that in this movie, the making of this movie, they straight up kill that shark?
That's what I thought, too. That shark does not look pleased about what's happening.
When they do a close-up on the device that's on a shark, there is
that's
some
on a
kind
dead
of
shark.
Thing stick. Is it?
That's on a dead shark.
Oh, because
well,
there's
you can tell by the
sticking
wrinkles
into
on the,
it.
Like that's the... Okay, guys, I only know this from watching Jaws so many times in my life. What happens to sharks when they die, they dry out a bit.
Even underwater?
Even underwater. So, I mean, this shark was caught, brought to the surface, and then put down underwater. So what happens is their skin can get a little wrinkly like that shark is. So when you see that homing device on the dead shark... That shark had been dead for a while, and they were just filming it like that.
Well, Shark Facts.
Welcome to Shark Facts. I'm Click, and you're Clank. Welcome.
What you need is you got a row of teeth back there that you got to replace every 6 months.
What kind of shark is it? It's a tiger shark. A what? That's from Jaws. I forgot that she actually catches him.
Yeah,
that's very Bond-like, I think.
I don't hate it.
That's heavy.
Heavy coincidence.
They set it up long enough ahead that it seemed clever.
Yeah.
Nice callback.
So Bond survives this attempt at his life. Now he's got to survive another attempt at his life. Let's think of a crazier way for him to die. Okay. So she takes some C4 explosives.
Uh-huh.
Ones that she used to kill the guy that she first tried to kill with the snake.
Right.
Well, she got rid of him with the explosives, killed him with the snake. And she puts them underneath James Bond's bed.
This is her most direct way.
Yeah.
unless you count holding him hostage with a gun later on. But even that is just, she's just making it up as she goes along.
Yeah. So this is...
That's one of the greatest scenes ever, by the way.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It is a crazy scene. So... I don't even know... Yeah, let's hear. Yeah.
Sounds a wonderful idea.
Oh, surely good, Bob. As I was wanting to discuss with you...
She does flinch a little bit, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
Mr. Bond?
Now, she was in the lobby. She heard what room he was in. Then she goes up and plants the bomb. But she knows, because he's also up to his room in theoretic.
Yeah.
So she knows that he's not in his room.
No, she doesn't know that. She
but
assumes
she beat
she's
him
going
up
to
his room,
room,
even though he was on his way room, and he just...
I guess, has she already done it?
She went in there and did it.
Okay.
And then came down, and then... She comes back with the. He comes back with what's her name, and I think she doesn't know that this woman is also staying at the hotel.
I see,
and just assumes they're going up to the. By the way, it is interesting that James doesn't want to immediately go back to his room to at least get a suit because he's wearing overalls.
I do like James Bond in overalls. That should have been more of a thing.
I know, clown suit, overalls. What are his most embarrassing costumes?
Well, her overalls just randomly appeared. Like we didn't see her in overalls either. It was great.
Yeah. That deal when he goes into the casino with the cigarette case that has a lateral gyroscope movement bomb.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Love it. Oh, we're getting close, guys. Oh, we're getting close to the domination game.
So, well, wait a minute. I want to talk about he goes into his, like, pod. Klaus goes into his pod.
Yes,
on his boat.
Yes.
And there's a scene that made me laugh so hard where he goes in. It's like a computer pod full of computer equipment. And he's going over these printouts and data sheets. And then he goes, okay. And then he presses a button and a window opens. It's just Kim Basinger doing Jazzercise. Our introduction. And he appears to be like the most business-like peeper that ever. He's like, all right. Get data checks out. Today our heart rate is up. Sweat. Peeping is a go. Let's get it on.
Was that built for her because she's a dancer, or is he just assuming he's going to have people that he needs to watch that are dancing?
Oh, that's a good question. I assume he built that for her. Like, he built her a dance studio on the boat.
Quite a modification. Like, just a camera hidden.
Yeah, but
he's
so rich.
Peeping, then you're like, oh, I'm going to build you that because then I can peep through the mirror.
Premeditated. Heavy premeditated perv.
Also, if that's your girlfriend... Why are you peeping?
That's the other thing. I mean,
you could just take her out to a nice dinner.
He's nuts.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he really likes watching dance.
Maybe that's maybe he's just a student of the arts.
So the scene also where he gives her a massage, where we skipped over.
Yeah.
Which is one of the creepier.
Yep.
It's amazing. Well, also because he's doing...
No, I like it because his James Bond innuendos aren't working on her because she's like, what?
It feels weirdly unsmooth. He's also like making like as he's creeping his dick towards her face, like just like she's not noticing. It's getting close. As he's pawing her
back. Stay on target. It's almost there.
He's worried about popping a bone.
Yeah, it's secretly hilarious and uncomfortable.
And her like 5 minute take and realization when she finds out he wasn't her masseuse.
I think she does an amazing... That direction, which you'll give us in a second, I sure
will.
Of what she must have been told. Because she has to go from... She goes from legit... It's like, okay, Kim, you were assaulted sexually. You were violated. Own that. And then let it blossom into a sweetheart's crush within the span of about 2 seconds of screen time. Ready,
you've
go. And she nails it.
From the worst experience of your life... to something that is going to give you such joy. I want you to think it all through, take a nap during your reaction. Go to sleep, take a nap, and when you wake up, show us how you feel. Go, action.
He must have loved you so much to have done what he did, to paw at your back.
Yes, it's offensive, but go.
It's real, it's reality.
Drama.
Go. All right, so in the original Thunderball, the first meeting between them happens at his home with the Shark Tanks. And the game, I believe, that they're playing, aren't they just doing some shot putting? Isn't he shooting clay pigeons or something?
Yeah. But is that they don't have a gambling game or anything? I thought they had like Baccarat or Chemin de Fer or something. I could be wrong.
I don't
but they do. They shoot skeet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And James Bond is good at that.
Yeah. Yeah, and he has that great line. Do you know anything about guns? No, but I know a little something about women. Something like that. I can't remember. But all right, Domination. So it's the 80s, so there has to be a video game in here.
Sure. Wow, there's a lot of Galagas. There's a room full of 40 Galagas.
Oh, my God.
I don't understand
a
what happened there.
Of Galagas.
Could they... You don't need the right... What? They didn't... So if you go to the prop house and you're like, we need a bunch of video games, like, here's what we got. 89 Galagas.
They probably struck a deal with them. Sponsorship or something. Yeah. Product placement.
But why wouldn't everybody... Oh, so Galaga paid to have 89 Galagas?
Probably. But there's a centipede in there, too. But I just that Domination, I want that table, those like leather bound. I wonder if that prop still exists. Probably not. Or some weird.
Probably got repurposed.
Or I bet Klaus Maria Brandauer has it in his home and he's made it work.
This used to be my world domination game.
There's some guy that's probably built one of these.
I do like the way he describes the game.
Depends with whom I'm playing.
Yeah, shall we?
Enough joking.
Join us.
Yeah, the laughing little lines is amazing with him.
These are my friends. They honored me by coming from all over the world to lose their money for my favorite charity.
And what might that be?
Children. Orphan children.
You know.
So.
I'm great with children.
Here we are. The game is called Domination. I designed it myself. But my problem is I've never yet found a worthy adversary.
No doubt I shall disappoint you too.
Yeah, you invented the game.
I know.
Like, what the fuck,
we'll
man?
We'll see.
I will not tell you the rules.
Yeah.
Let us begin.
This game has one objective. Power.
I mean, this prop is up there with the time machine for me. And, like,
we will be fighting for countries
awesome, amazing
chosen at random by the machine.
Design.
But for this demonstration, I will choose France. Target areas will light up on the map. Whoever hits them first with
it's
his laser beam...
It's also got some sweet lawnmower man level.
But there's another way to
graphics.
Win. With your left hand, you control two nuclear missiles. With your right hand, you control a shield to block my missiles. But if you fail, boom, I win the game. You will be red. I will be blue. Are you ready?
Oh, his weird cat pawing of his hand, the handles.
Begin.
The hand acting.
It's
also
amazing.
Also, when he releases, when he loses,
yeah,
it's just like...
For the domination of the world begins.
We play for dollars.
And it's run by Cylon.
Random target selection, Spain. Value $9,000. Spain.
Should have had some better sound effect work.
Tough. No, it sounds like we're listening to Moonraker.
It's also like a weird acting exercise off between Klaus and Connery. Connery's getting his ass kicked.
Yeah.
And just like pretend to play a video game acting.
Yeah.
Of electric shocks.
No kidding.
One last point. If you let go the controls, you forfeit the game. As you were unaware of this, we will begin again.
Oh, what a champ.
Yeah, what a champ. He's the best.
Random target selection, Japan. Value $16,000.
That's it.
So, yeah, the big fun thing James Bond gets to do in this is play video games.
Considering the lack of, like, character development Klaus has, he sells so much in that scene.
He really
you don't need anything else, but just that scene does everything for him, and that... In most Bond movies, there's usually a little bit of background. You know, I don't know anything about who he... They're basically like Thunderball.
Yeah. I want to see more Klaus Maria Brandauer movies, because...
I was trying to look. I was like, Out of Africa, he won an award. He won an Academy Award or something.
I haven't seen it. And that's a John Barry score, too. I want to see him in a real drama and see if he's pulling these shenanigans.
Again, there's three composers in England.
That's true. Yeah.
All right, so... This is when James Bond tells her during the tango. James tells her, "Hey, your brother. You think he's coming, right?
Very
guess
callous
what?
Connery move.
Guess what? Not happening. You know why? Your boyfriend killed him.
And
your brother's dead. Don't do anything.
Yeah, she does react, but then it never really seems to slow her down or anything like
no,
that.
No, it goes to I'll let you handle that.
Yeah. And then soon we'll be on a submarine showering together and giggling. Oh, I forgot my brother's dead.
Right.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you forget? You get Connery there.
That's true.
I guess I would forget.
Yeah. So they do the tango, which takes up so many minutes.
Yeah.
Then crazy dancing lady wants, you know, her revenge. She wants to kill him. So mm-hmm. she goes and kills...
Best scene.
Mm. Kills the lady he was sleeping with. James Bond takes his awesome motorcycle out, fires some rockets, skates under some things. Then his comeuppance is from...
They try to make his bike go in a truck as opposed to making him get off the bike.
Yeah.
Your gun.
Look at her outfit. It's like one of the villains from Superman 2 and a clown mixed together.
Over here?
Yeah, this is... My dad moaning is why I'm attracted to women in leather hammer pants.
Her legs look twice as long as the rest of her body.
Your legs.
See, this is great.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's empowering.
This movie's tone is pretty consistent. Like, a lot of the other Bond movies don't keep a consistent tone like this.
So she threatens to shoot him in a dick, right? It's like, so...
where you get the first one.
And then she forces him to admit she's the best.
And write it down.
Liar!
Such a contrivance.
You know that making love to Fatima was the greatest pleasure of your life?
She refers herself in the third person.
Well, to be perfectly honest,
I was almost on her side.
Yeah.
Because you're like, James Bond is a dick to ladies. You're really sticking it to this guy who has a long history. Shoot him in the dick. I'm with you. And then she immediately switches to emotionally unbalanced because he implied she wasn't sexually pleasing.
By the way, I like the reference to Philadelphia. Like, what James Bond story did we miss?
Yeah.
I know. What
He's
mission
got some
was
funny
he
lines
on
to really set her off in this scene?
Look at the soft focus.
Probably when he had to recover the Constitution.
Yeah, National Treasure is a
reboot. Liberty Bell was under fire. The line about endorsements also.
I am the best.
Good.
Yes. Is that here?
Yes, you're right. In fact, I was going to put you in my memoirs as number one.
Right.
This is his plan. He's going to say that, then she's going to make me write it down. It'll be an excuse to get my pen out. Oh, boy.
Write it on this newspaper.
Right.
It's got the Union Jack on it. The dumb pen has
now
the Union Jack
this.
On it.
The greatest rapture in my life was afforded me to vote in
The greatest rapture in my life.
By Fatima Blush. Sign, James Bond, 007.
Why?
Here's my thought, though. She does this to everybody. Mm. And at her home, she has all of these framed.
Yeah.
Like, that's 007, that's 006.
Let's do that. Let's make that movie.
Yeah. She's laid them out on her coffee table and then lacquered them, so it's this hard surface.
Decoupage. She's into decoupage.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's a great idea.
For sure.
This is one of the... I feel like only two people in the James Bond franchise that blow up completely.
Who's the
Like, from the inside out?
Who's the other
Giafficoto, for sure.
Oh, right.
Come on.
Yeah,
sorry. Milton Crest kind of
Kananga balloon.
I know, sorry.
Milton Crest is a bit of a head balloon situation.
Yeah Milton Crest is a head balloon. It's not a
I understand. I understand.
Body. You see what we're saying?
My apologies.
You see what we're saying, Aaron?
Matt. I apologize.
Where'd you get this guy? Come on.
Look how much of this movie is still left. That's crazy. I know you got to go soon, so we should probably
We're moving along here.
I don't want to put you guys under any
We should, okay, so James Bond ends up on the Disco Volante, aka the Flying Saucer, where he runs into Kim Basinger, and then this happens here real quick. Where he hears the music, and he's like, oh, I gotta take a listen to this.
Oh, yeah, this is a real cuckolding.
Yeah.
So he immediately registers, hey, that mirror is a two-way mirror.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm sorry, everybody. Doesn't matter. Does not matter at all. It's not really...
There's a weird thing, though, when he gets on the boat. Like, James Bond is trying to sneak on the boat, and then he gets caught, and then he gets brought to Klaus, and Klaus is like, oh, hey, we're going to set sea. And he's like, oh, I didn't know. I thought I was just coming for lunch. And Klaus is like, yeah, we're going to see. There's a weird... vibe with the weird cordial attitude that Bond villains have.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's what Bond villains do.
I think whatever it was originally, like a power play or something, is all gone.
That's
where
lost.
They just seemed to trying to con the other one and be like, no, we're best friends.
Yeah.
Like, for real. There's no undercurrent. There's no wink to any of this conversation. It's
no,
not like,
come hang out. You finally I needed someone to play this game with me.
Yeah, yeah. It's so strange.
But this is perhaps the most classic of James Bond tropes. A villain revealing plan.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. This is a good little scene.
What a wonderful view. You'll see. Every game has to have a winner.
Jack.
So,
Look, that's not Ciao, written
Bella.
That way.
No.
He closed it.
Margot. But in that case, where did you hide the bombs?
You still think of escape? I must say I admire your spirit.
Oh, my God.
Well, bomb number one is right under the president's feet in Washington, D.C.
And number two?
Oh, that's amazing.
His hand moves.
You were a very good secret agent. Really?
James kind of enjoys that.
Yeah.
Like, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, God, he's so good. I want him to do a TV show called The Klaus Maria Brandauer, where he just sits there for an hour and
no,
a half.
No, it's like, it's all like, you remake every bottle episode of sitcoms, be it Elevator
yes.
Trap, be it the Chinese food restaurant, Seinfeld episode, but you put him into it. It's through his point of view.
Please. There, you know, with the multiple universe theory, that's
but
happening
the,
somewhere.
They came in after
we're
me.
We're in the wrong existence.
All right, so
we get to this horse falling.
First of all, his plan for her is to auction her off to Middle Eastern people.
Sure.
And it's no good, guys. It's no good whatsoever.
Tough.
But then I just want to play just the audio of What Are You Doing? And them holding on for dear life as they jump off a giant building with a horse.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not music. Yeah. Music's not helping the horse. Okay.
Katie, you're going to want to watch this.
Good shot, though.
Hold on.
Look at that. A silhouette.
Where are you going?
Oh, the horse doesn't die. It just looks so fake.
And then they cut to something way too real.
Yeah, this is uncomfortably real.
They show the horse get up.
There was an uproar, though, because
of there is a shot. I feel like the horse, there's like a weird horse floating deadness in one of these shots.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no. That's the horse.
The dead horse. But they do just leave the horse behind.
Yeah, but let's talk about how great Kim Basinger looks.
I was never in dispute.
No, that, no, no one's...
There's a sea, swims away.
She didn't get any of the Atherton jokes.
And then we also haven't even talked about Felix Leiter. I like Bernie Casey as Felix
Leiter.
He's a great
though.
Felix Leiter.
This Felix Leiter, he comes in, he waits for the team of blushes.
Yeah, but he knew.
Sure, that is true. And he also
like
throws
box
a
jogging,
throws
a
ball
jerky.
At him like a
that,
death
yeah.
ball.
That was a great escape, by the way, when they have take off their suits and their workout clothes.
Yeah,
and they're just capitalizing on the success of Rocky.
Yeah.
All right, here's Sean Connery on a submarine. You know, guys, I just want you to think, what movie is he on a submarine in?
Spy Who Loved Me.
I was thinking of The Hunt for Red October.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well, that was Roger Moore anyway. I thought he meant Bond. And then you got these...
What are these? Was I not paying attention last night? What is happening?
those torpedo missile...
Oh, that's
turbine.
Right. They're launching Felix.
Anytime he's on something that's moving, there's a POV shot.
Yeah.
Navy.
By time.
Yes.
Show, don't tell.
Boy. Yeah, yeah.
See
he's
it?
Really showy.
I want you to think
experience.
You're Bond. Yes.
So they've defused the first bomb because they were given the instructions that it was under Washington, D.C., so they immediately found that.
Yeah, we don't even really see it.
No.
I love this big set, though, this Tears of Allah cavern thing.
Oh, it's
I love
gorgeous.
A big shootout set
it's
piece.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're using Uzis, very 80s of them.
Right. Those are actually Mac 11s.
They got there because of the necklace, which he had no reason to give her and no reason not to take back because he made a big, huge deal about it.
And why is she still wearing it after he's the worst man in the world?
That's she's just the most valuable thing on the planet.
That's his best hand motion, though, is the, I cut your throat.
What can you do? What can you do?
Long story short, James Bond saves the day.
Do you want to hear the alternate ending that was proposed but ultimately decided against, and we'll wrap this up?
Yes.
Instead of the wink at the end of the camera, it would have been Connery and Basinger walking down the street, and they pass a man and turn around, and it's Roger Moore. He's saying, like, I'll never do this again.
How could they?
Roger Moore was his friend, and Roger Moore was up for it, but they ultimately decided against it because they knew it would piss off Cubby Broccoli too much. I think this is legend. Oh. Who knows if it's real? But that would have been something, huh? And then he should have been an Octopussy. How does Octopussy end? It's just him and Maude Adams.
The circus thing is the last thing, right?
They're out on her.
Out on her house lake.
I think so. Yeah, he should have just gotten to bed with them, Connery. It might as well at this
room
point.
For one more
table for three.
Never Say Never Again. I think my sort of feeling on it after watching it last night was I'll watch it again.
Yeah, better time than I remembered. Had a good time.
If you haven't seen this one, if you're avoiding it somehow, watch it. Right?
I was avoiding it. I was stupid for doing so. Don't be me. Do not be you and be smarter.
Aaron, thank you so much for joining us here today.
My pleasure. I really appreciate it.
You got anything to plug? Hannibal is...
No, Hannibal's on tonight. Whenever this airs. Thursdays. Thursdays at 10.
Yep.
There's a movie called Regression coming out with Ethan Hawke and Emma Watson, which should be scary, and hopefully I'm still in that.
I hope you're still in that, too.
Thanks. Thanks, Matt.
You know, the beauty of it, though, is if you're not... You'll still get checks.
Yeah, and I still got to plug it like I was. But yeah,
great.
Yeah,
you're just Aaron Abrams on Twitter?
Mr. Aaron Abrams.
Okay. Some jerk already took Aaron Abrams.
That's right, some other guy. And if you guys are ever doing like a Columbo podcast or take over everyone,
see you tomorrow
for
night.
That was on my other charts.
I'm into it. If I were to start of that era of podcast, I would start the Fall Guy.
Oh, I'd go Rockford Files, I think.
Oh, both fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Both fantastic. James Garner.
Guys,
lives in a trailer.
We really did it today.
Guys, we did do it.
Yeah.
Do we have a sign off? I don't even remember. I suppose it is.
Matt and Matt return
with
Octopus. No, yes, Octopussy. And then For Your Eyes Only, and that's it. And then we do Spectre.
Only.
Yeah. We'll try to do those soon.
Yeah, because I was
saying... Do you think they're going to spell out Spectre like they did in this movie?
I wonder.
It
doesn't have the dots. It can't.
I'm also saying it's so stupid.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they change it to cool words. It's like...
Super passionate,
extraordinary. What if Spectre
technologically?
What if like the real villain in this movie is James Bond?
Sure.
And Spectre is like just trying to bring peace to the world
by taking nuclear weapons and putting them in the ocean.
Yeah, we're disposing of these properly.
It's like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. The reverse view, like, and never mind.
Guys, we'll see you again soon.
Very soon, hopefully. I know we say that a lot, but
we're gonna try.
Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. 8 nights.
Rachel Bloom.
You want to see my collection of men corpses and one woman?
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins has crossed out and then circled and he crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.